My beloved people, there is not that much that I need to stress today from out of the bulletin, except I do stress the part there that has the assignments for the coming feast of Corpus Christi. So please take this and keep it for your information. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My blessed, beloved people, today, actually, is a kind of an in-between day. It is actually between the feast of the Ascension, the glorious Ascension of our Lord, and the feast of the coming of the Holy Ghost. It's not exactly so, but it's a kind of an off day as far as things go, liturgically and so on. But nevertheless, perhaps in brief description today, we need to stress the point that next Sunday is the feast of the Holy Ghost. It is a feast of the love of God. You know, the apostles were with our Lord himself for a period of about 3 years. And even though many things that took place during those 3 years are recorded in our book, but you know well enough, and even as was noted in one of the Gospels, if they did record everything that took place during those 3 years, there wouldn't be enough paper to write it all on. But their being with our Lord and their hearing the things that our Lord had to say, you know, and you heard and you read how our Lord himself in his own way scolded them that they were not really impressed that much. As a matter of fact, they were so unimpressed by it all that when the time arrived for them to prove their loyalty to our blessed Lord, just when the soldiers came to capture him, what did they do? They all ran away. They all left him. They were all weak. They had nothing to fall back on. And the things that our Lord had told them laboriously meant very little to them. They might have remembered the words. You remember St. Peter, when our Lord told him that he would deny him, "I will never do such a thing as that. I will go to the grave with you." And our Lord said, "Yes, yes, yes. Before the cock crows tonight, you will deny me three times." And so it was. The great St. Peter, the one whom our Lord called Rock, fell totally. However, he had the grace to pick himself up. The other one did not. The other one often hanged himself. But our Lord told them that even though the things that I tell you are way above your heads, and that you do not understand what I'm saying, you do not comprehend what I'm talking about, he will come. I will send him to you. And he will come. And when he arrives, then you will understand what I've been saying. As soon as he arrived, they burst the doors open and they went out, and you know what all they did. my beloved people, the same is true with us at this moment. We hear all these things. We hear the Word of God presented to us. We hear the Word of God described to us. We read about the Word of God. We know the Word of God. Many of us have got the Word of God memorized, perhaps. But unless and until we receive the grace that will come to us by way of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God will mean very little. And it must also be kept in mind that the word that the Holy Spirit is not going to willy-nilly pick up the grace of God and distribute it among just anybody. The Holy Spirit does not waste. We consider the Word of God as so much air, perhaps, and that all drink in this air as we drink in air at any other time. The Word of God is the most priceless, other than the Eucharist itself. The Word of God is the most priceless possession that we have. And God is not going to let this priceless possession be wasted. You remember when our Lord told the apostles, when you enter into a place and they do not receive you as they should receive you, that they do not listen to you as they should listen to you, what did our Lord say? He said, leave the place and shake the dust off of your feet. Our Lord does not want his word to be wasted, and it will not be wasted amongst those who truly love him. We here read a great deal. It's presented to us. The bulletins, as you know, possess quite lengthy discussions at times. You hear things from the pulpit. You discuss things among yourselves. But unless and until the Holy Spirit comes and touches us one by one by one, it all remains a fiction. And it does us no good. So during these days, prior to next Sunday, when the coming of the Holy Spirit takes place, let us spend great times asking the Holy Spirit, number one, to give us the grace to understand, to give us the grace to comprehend. That's number one. Number two, and equally important, maybe just a little bit more important, let us ask the Holy Spirit to touch those whom we know, whom we love, who are part of us in family or otherwise, that he will go and touch those people, that he will give them the grace to understand, that he will give them the grace to comprehend and to accept that which is true. Today, you know only too well, good people, throngs of people, lots of people, you know them. They're friends of yours. They're family of yours. They're acquaintances and neighbors and whatever of yours. And you can tell, you can see that they have lost something. That something is missing with these good people. They're not less good as far as the world judges, but they've lost something for some reason that we cannot explain. Why is it that you, sitting here, Sunday after Sunday, why is it that you see us? Why is it you see me? You know? Why is it that you are here and they are not? Why is it? I'm not saying this to be a demonstration of humility. Why is it that you see any of us up here, sitting here, when there are countless numbers of others who are certainly better than we? Why are we here and they're not? As I look to myself and I see my own qualifications and etc., and I see the things that throughout life I have been involved in, why am I here instead of somebody else? These are questions that none of us have any answers to. But for some unaccountable, unexplainable, incomprehensible reason, you and we are here. And this is a gift for which we should always be grateful. And when the Holy Ghost comes next week, we should particularly, most especially, beg that, all right, you have brought us here. You have picked us up by the hair of our heads and placed us here in this place, believing in the things that we do that this place stands for. You have brought us here. Now, in your own name, Spirit of God, give us the understanding that we wish, so that we will know what we must be about. Today, even amongst ourselves, you hear all kinds of people saying all kinds of things, who have taken theology, perhaps, into their own sphere. They've never read a book. They've never cracked a book with things that pertain to the things of God. Yet they have their own interpretation, their own application, their own observation of things, and they tell this to the confusion of good people. We need the grace and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost so that we can sift the things that we need to keep and do away with the things that need to be done away with. We are not here for any cause. Today, it is an unfortunate thing that so many of us of our kind have attached themselves to various and sundry causes. And if you look into the list of what we call the traditional list, not the traditional, there is a difference. If you look to the traditional list, groupings of people, you will find numerous causes that attract them. And you will find them moving from one section of the country to the other, looking for the places that they can identify with, looking for the causes that they can identify with. We're not here because of a cause. We're here because we believe, not in a cause, but that we believe in something that is beyond cause. If cause brings me here, I will repeat that. If cause, whatever, if cause brings me here, then I am here for all of the wrong reasons. And as a consequence, my presence earns me no reward. If cause brings me here. And unfortunately, I hope not here, but in too many places, it is cause that brings people together. And if we could put cause aside and centralize our thinking on our belief, we would be the mighty force that could change the events of mankind. But since we have each taken a cause, we have splintered what could otherwise be a power. We've splintered it into sections that are so ineffective. And so we continue to suffer. My dear people, there's only one thing that I ask of you, if I may, that I could command you to do, and that is to pray that the Spirit of God be within you and stay within you, so that when the Lord comes, each of you, let your prayer include, that each of you and those you love most can say, "Here I am, Lord." You are not, or we are not, going to be judged according to whichever side of any cause we find ourselves in. Whether we are for this or against it, this is not what we shall be looked at upon and judged for. We are not going to be asked, which side of an issue do you find yourself on? And for whichever side you're on, you're either going to be blessed or you're going to be condemned. The only thing that you shall be asked is, did you believe? And did you let your belief dominate the actions of your life? It is not a matter, as some feel, that we believe and that that is sufficient to save our immortal souls. You know better than that. But here you will notice that in our discussions, in our little writings, that we are working so hard to cut away the peeling of things so that we can enter into the core, the fruit. The interior may not be as beautiful as the peeling, but the peeling has no nourishment. The peeling can be very lovely, can be very beautiful, can be fixed up to where it is attractive, but that's not the important part of that fruit. The important part of that fruit is what is under that peeling, and that is where we are trying to reach. In what we say, in what we preach, and in what we write. Because what is under that beautiful exterior, that is what will give us nourishment. That is what will give us salvation. We throw the peeling away into the sewer because it has no value. We must look at that which is interior, and that is where we are aiming, the interior life. All of us, every one of us, will have to hang our heads in shame when we face our Almighty God. All right? We know that. We acknowledge that. But simply because of something, that we will let this something be as a black cloud over our heads for the rest of our lives, that is foolishness. Always look to two great people, one a woman and one a man. The woman, simply because she cried out of love, she washed away everything that was bad and became one of the great saints of our church. The other, at the last minute, at the very last minute, simply because he believed, and simply because he asked to be remembered. A thief he was all of his life, a thief he died on the cross. And at the very last minute, he involved himself in thievery and stole heaven from out of the hands of the crucified Savior, simply because he believed. We must go to the interior life if we are to be saved. And the interior life will demonstrate to us and expose to us where reality is. Today in our world, you know where reality is, but you also know that reality doesn't, the reality that we speak of, does not bring satisfaction, does not bring consolation, does not bring peace, does not bring understanding, does not bring anything that makes me feel comfortable for being here. Good clothes, much money, beautiful houses. They're no longer homes, they're dwellings. Castles were not nearly so elaborate once upon a time. Do these things bring joy? And so we have someone having to have a castle over here, and a castle in another state, and a castle in another country. And so they live 2 months here, and 2 months there, and 2 months there, like a flock of migrating birds, seeking that which they cannot find. But the peace that we speak of is not in pretty clothes, is not in jewelry, is not in things or people or places. The peace that I speak of, that we speak of, that God speaks of, that Christ speaks of, that the Holy Ghost speaks of, that is inside of me. But I don't want to look there. I want to look at the pretty house, at the pretty clothes, at the pretty this, at the pretty that. And so I lose it. We have got to turn into the interior reality, which is my soul. And until we do that, we will not have peace. We will not have understanding. We will simply remain uncomfortable, always uncomfortable, looking for something to distract us. That's why we seek these causes, because causes distract us. And there are a multitude of causes. Why can't we center our attention on the one and only important cause that I should be concerned about, and that is the salvation of my own immortal reality, my soul. So as he comes here next week, as he comes to visit us, let us beg him to put just a spark. We would be satisfied with that. Just a spark of that fire that he gave to others once upon a time. This is all we ask. If we can have that much, then we will find ourselves putting aside the things that have absolutely no relevance. My soul does not depend on whether someone is or someone isn't, or whether this is done or this is not done, or whether this is said or this is not said. My soul does not depend on that. My soul depends only on one thing. And my soul depends on to the degree that I answer what that one thing demands of me. All other things have to be put away. If I can do just that, I don't need the acclaim, the fame, the power, the glory, the possession that is all around me. Not that I wish to make myself so self-contained that I shut out. No, no, no. I do not speak of shutting out anybody. We don't have to do that. All I want and all I need is to include only my beloved Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior, my God, and my all. If we can do that, then we shall have the peace that we so much demand, or so much desire, my beloved people.